speaker is Carolyn from San Diego. I'm Carolyn, and I'm still an alcoholic. I was thinking this week of what I would have said 2 years ago if I was standing up here. So this is it. I would have said, I'm an alcoholic. I'll give you that much. But I'm not like you. I've never had a DUI or been arrested, and I have a good job, and I own my own home. So, you know, we're a little bit different. But I do have a drinking problem. Well, there's part of the book that says more will be revealed. And boy, has it. And I'm with my people now. So when I was adopted when I was 13 months old, lived here in San Diego. And though my parents didn't really know the story of why I was given up for adoption, they always told me that I was special, that my natural mom wanted the best for me, that they really wanted a daughter. I have an older brother, and that they really wanted a daughter, and that I was chosen. And the story continues today. My dad's 80, but, you know, he'll remind me how special I am. And so I grew up, you know, with Ozzie and Harriet. I grew up with a great family. And, it's Ozzie and Harriet land. And I constantly being told that I'm special and that I'm wanted and that I'm loved. And as far back as I can remember, there was a little voice in my head going, no, you don't know me. You really don't know me. And I remember these thoughts being a little kid. There was always this pressure to be a good girl, not pressure from my parents, but it was pressure from me to be good because they chose me and I didn't want them to get a lemon. And I really did think those kind of thoughts. I also had this thing where if I ever found my natural mother, I wanted her to know that she did the right thing. And this was all internal pressure. And I knew that deep down I was a liar, a cheat, and a thief. But my parents kept saying how special I was and how much I was loved, so I kind of felt I had to live up to that ideal even though I knew they were wrong. You know, it says in the book about leading a double life, and I certainly did, and from the time I was little, I was leading that double life. You know, if 2 years ago, if I had been giving this talk and talking about alcohol, I would have said alcohol wasn't an issue until the last maybe 10 years before I got in these rooms. But that more will be revealed part has brought to me that I was drinking regularly on the weekends by the eighth grade. My best friend lived out in Hamul. I would go out there. Her parents were alcoholics. They would pass out by 7. And we would drink and do all the things you can do in Hamul, you know, in the 70s. So I was drinking regularly back then, and I'd forgotten that. I have pictures of me and my girlfriend at Disneyland in about the ninth grade, and we were wasted. We brought a big thing of Sunny Delight and half vodka, half Sunny Delight, and we just got toasted. You know, but I'd forgotten that too. There are little incidents like, oh yeah, I remember one time I got drunk, but this was happening a lot. And even on my first job, I was 16, and I worked at Montgomery Ward in Grossmont Center. And working on like a 5-hour shift, and I had a half-hour break, and for whatever reason possessed me, I'm 16 years old, I went out to my car, and I drank a bottle of vodka. And it was hard. I mean, it was hard to drink that and be back on time. She wanted to be back on time because I'm a good employee. And I got back there, and my boss, who liked me, you know, figured out immediately what I had done, and he stuck me in the stock room putting the thin little pink receipt at the end of an invoice. He gave me a box of them and said, put them in numerical order. And I did that. I didn't get fired, but he told me, you don't drink and come to work. And I never did. I never did, even at the end. I would not drink and go to work. Now, I would drink till 5:30 in the morning, lay down for an hour and go to work. But to me, that wasn't drinking at work because I slept in between. Yeah, great at rationalization. I will say there were a lot of outside issues during high school and in college, and those are my memories more than the alcohol, but alcohol was always there. And it just felt right. And I'm not telling anybody something you haven't heard, but it just felt right when I was doing it. And it actually, in a weird way, kind of reinforced that I really am a bad person, but I keep acting good, but I know I'm bad, and see, here's my proof I'm bad, so all I really needed to do was convince myself. I did exactly what was according to Ozzie and Harriet's plan. I went to college. I got engaged. I graduated college. I got married. We bought a house. We had a first child, our daughter. waited 2 years, 9 months, had her second child, my son, and we, you know, it was in the book. We followed the thing. What was missing during those years is I felt I was living someone else's life. These weren't all my plans. These were the plans I was grown up and told, this is how you do it. And by the 90s, I was starting to fall apart a little bit. And I had quit the outside issues in 1987, gone cold turkey, because we bought a house, and I'd heard that if they found drugs in your house, they could take your house. So I didn't want that to happen, so I just cold turkeyed everything in 1987 because we bought a house. Again, I got to be good, but be bad. And but around the early 90s, I started drinking, and so where I was self-medicating through 87, I picked that back up in the early 90s, and it really helped balance the kids, full-time work, husband. The relationship wasn't doing too well, but it did better when I was drinking. That kind of kept me going through the 90s. And in 2000, I left my husband. It was very scary. It's probably the bravest thing I've ever done. It was to leap out there and actually take off on my own with my kids. And my drinking really ramped up then, because I hadn't been dealing with life when there were two breadwinners. Is that what you call them? But I hadn't been dealing with life then, and now suddenly I'm on my own, and I don't have someone to sit there and tell me I'm an idiot, which I used to get told a lot. Now I'm all there by myself. So I really started drinking a lot then. It didn't help that every other week the kids were with their dad, so I was all by myself. And left to my own devices, it's not real good. But I thought I was having fun, and again, I wasn't harming anybody. I wasn't getting DUIs or anything. Though I did have a plan that someday I would get my DUI. I'd already named it my DUI. And when I got my DUI, I would quit drinking. That was like my internal, I'd set that as the bottom. I never got it. I sure did try, but I never got it. Towards the end, in 06, a few things happened. By then, I was shaking on a pretty regular basis, shaking really bad. I had told my friends I had a palsy. And I was also sweating a lot, and I told them it was early menopause. And I was always kind of irping, ready to throw up at any given time. I was confused a lot. I slept a lot. It was just, things were coming down. And in 06, what happened? First thing was my niece got married, and they had open bar before the wedding even started, and I took advantage of that privilege. And when we got our pictures back from the wedding, I'm not in any of them. And that really hurt, because family's important to me. And I wasn't there in the photographer's eyes, and I understand why. About a month after that, my dad sent me a letter, and my dad is the most important man in my life. I love my dad. And he didn't really say drinking, but he just put in his letter that he was worried about my health. And that hurt a lot, to know that I wasn't hiding it from everybody and my dad had noticed. That hurt a lot. And then my best friend of about 8 years, I called her one day. She had moved to Florida, and I called her, and she just said, "You know, I don't want to be your friend anymore." She goes, "This is one-sided." She goes, "You didn't even call after my surgery." And I was thinking, what surgery? And apparently she had told me all about it during one of my blackouts, and I had promised to call. And it took me a while to figure out what surgery, but so I lost my best friend. And then a few months after that, this has all started around May, and now we're up to about October 2006. I got a letter, and I do volunteer work that puts me in line with the police department and the district attorney's office. So I got a letter from the district attorney's office, and I didn't think much of it. In fact, I didn't even open it. I took it to work a day or two later and finally had a break during work, and I opened it. And it was to the mother of, and it had my daughter's name. That's weird. And it was just kind of a generic form letter about free services that you can get through the DA's office. And I said, that's really strange. So I didn't call the DA that day, and I didn't ask my daughter about it, and I don't know why. I just didn't ask her. And on the next day, I called the DA's office, and they answered sex crimes. And I was floored. I suddenly, in just that moment of clarity, I knew I didn't know anything, and something was wrong. And I got a hold of my daughter, and though we've never really talked about everything, she gave me enough information to know that she'd been hurt, and she'd been hurt bad. And it had been 2 years since she'd gotten hurt, and she'd been working with the detectives and the DA without me. without her dad. She was taking the trolley downtown to see the detective. She was doing very adult things at not even 16 years old. And that was my bottom. You know, everybody has a bottom. And anyway, I'm sorry I went on my drunk log so long, but I want to say the things I've learned. I've learned that we're very similar, and so similar. And I've also learned that my problem isn't alcohol, and that with the help of a higher power and everybody in this room, I have a fantastic life today. I have a great...